experiencing God verse for this coming week is John 14:23. Jesus replied, "If anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him." We come together this morning as the dwelling place of a living God. Let us prepare our hearts for worship. Journey through the desert, and each Sunday we are sharing different desert themed objects to remind us of what we are called to learn during this season of Lent. Lent is a dry time, a time of spiritual discipline and prayer, confession and repentance, and it is in the desert that Jesus went to be tempted by the devil for 40 days and 40 nights, and so Lent lasts for 40 days. Today our symbol, as we come to this season of Lent, is the rock, the stone. In a desert of shifting sands, God used stones or rocks as a symbol of permanence, as a symbol of stability. It was with stones that people marked the places where they encountered God in the desert. It was on stone tablets that God wrote the Ten Commandments with his servant Moses. And it is Jesus who reminded us that in this life that is much like the shifting sands of a desert, it is the wise person who builds his house on the rock. In Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7, beginning in verse 24, Jesus says, "Everyone then who hears these words of mine and acts on them will be like a wise person who built his house on the rock. The rain fell, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house, but it did not fall, because it had its foundation on rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not act on them will be like a foolish person who built his house on sand. The rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell, and great was its fall." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Strength is all. Good morning. We gather in the Lord's house this day on this chilly spring morning. It is amazing. We live in a world and live in a state where it can be 75 degrees 1 week and then 30 degrees this morning. It was beautiful to see the snow fall, but I will say I am thankful that it's gone, at least for a couple days. We'll see. But we are gathered in the Lord's house this day to worship and celebrate in this season of Lent. As we do gather this morning, I do want to remind you, we do have all our evening activities tonight, and this afternoon it begins at 4 o'clock with church council for all our ministry teams. Please make sure you're represented at that meeting this afternoon at 4. Fellowship meal is tonight as well, along with evening activities for children, youth, and adults. Experiencing God's study, small group study, will take place tonight at 5:45. There are many other announcements in your bulletin, but one that did not make it just because of the weather. We postponed the wedding shower that was supposed to take place this morning for Emily Swing and Josh Barefoot to next Sunday morning at 9 o'clock. So I encourage you to come and support that young couple next Sunday morning at 9 with that wedding shower. And then we have another wedding shower the week after that. So we're going to be showering all over the place this week, this month. But I encourage you to take note of those flyers in the hallway as well. We are gathered in the Lord's house this morning. It is that season where we're called to reflect, to ponder, because we are on a journey. Let us go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Thank you, God, for most importantly, just the opportunity to worship this day, to be among family here in this place, and the freedom to worship you as you've called us to do. Thank you for the ability when we gather in this place to set aside all those worries and the stresses of the world, all of those things that are weigh on our hearts and minds, and we leave those at the altar for you this day. Father God, that is what this season is about. It is a time of reflection. It is a time of drawing closer to you. It is a time of confession where we lay those things that draw us away from you, and we lay them at your feet. Father God, as we are on this journey during the season of Lent, may we be reminded that the celebration is to come. In Palm Sunday, the sadness will come with the death on the cross, but hope is restored in the empty tomb. Father God, that is where we are traveling during this season. Father God, we lift this prayer in your Son's name, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Now, if you would stand and join us in singing our hymn of praise, Our God.
Awesome and powerful.
this morning we wanted to share with you a ministry highlight that will be taking place in our community in the coming summer months of June, July, and August. Elon First Baptist Church of Morgan Place are sponsoring a summer empowerment camp. And many of you may have received the flyer this week over email, but we want to share just a little information about what this camp is, why they're doing it, and how we can assist in this camp this summer. The camp will start on June 19th and will carry through August 11th. It'll meet from Monday through Friday from 7:30 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. The camp is open to anyone, and it's open to our congregation, any children between the ages of kindergarten and eighth grade, and there is a weekly cost for the camp this summer. And they really, speaking to the pastor, Elon First Baptist, he really has a heart for his community, and he recognizes the need for a place for children to gather during the summer that is affordable, that teaches them about Christ, but also is a safe and educational opportunity. So as he was sharing this at our Elon Minister's Luncheon this past month, he opened up to all our congregations, all the congregations in the community of Elon, that if you have individuals in our congregation, and we may have many that would like to help out with this, if you have someone who's gifted in an area, maybe it's music, maybe it's a craft or art, maybe you're a teacher and enjoy opportunity spending time with children, they're looking for volunteers to come and help. That volunteer could be there for just a couple hours one day this summer. It could be for the entire summer, anywhere in between. But they wanted to share this information with our congregation, for our children, but also for our church family, in case there might be anyone who might be interested in helping out. I would strongly encourage you to keep this opportunity in your prayers in the coming weeks as more details come together. You will hear more information from us as the weeks draw closer to the summer opportunity. And if you have questions, you can speak to myself or Mason. There is contact information, emails to two individuals at Elon First Baptist who we can get in contact with and you can get in contact with for more information. But I ask you prayerfully consider maybe an opportunity to serve this summer for a couple hours, a day, a week, or maybe the entire summer, helping in this opportunity that takes place in our community. Be in prayer for this opportunity. Now I would ask, if you're able, please stand and join us in singing our offertory hymn number 338, How Firm a Foundation.
Lord, pray? God, your foundation is firm. May we find strength and hope in your foundation. May the offerings we receive today be used for your glory. Forgive us all our sins. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.
Old Testament reading this morning reminds us that there is a lot more to being a child of God and following God than just simply coming to the temple and singing pretty songs. That love requires more. In Jeremiah chapter 7, beginning in verse 4, God declares, "Do not trust in these deceptive words. This is the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord. For if you truly amend your ways and your doings, if you truly act justly with one another, if you do not oppress the alien, the orphan, and the widow, or shed innocent blood in this place, and if you do not go after other gods to your own hurt, then I will dwell with you in this place, in the land that I gave of old to your ancestors forever and ever." God always blesses the reading and the hearing of his word. Let us pray together. God, you remind us that we are called to do more than simply sing and be present in the temple. You remind us that you are watching us, and that you call for us to also obey. We confess, Lord, that it is easier for us to do the former and that we often neglect the latter. But we trust in your mercy, and by that mercy we come to you and ask not only for forgiveness but for strength to return to your word, to return to your instruction, to seek to build our lives on that rock, that solid, firm foundation. We stand on your promises. And Lord, we pray that we as a church would build all that we do on your word, that the people around us would secure their lives by your word, and that we would seek to transform our community, our nation, and our world by your word. And Lord, we pray for those who need to hear a word from you. We lift up especially those who have never followed you, those who have yet to see the life to the full that you offer. We pray also for those who have turned away from church. We pray that you would come again and chase after your lost coins, your treasured ones. And Lord, we pray for those who feel alone this morning, whether they be alone in a rehab center or a nursing home or homebound or in a hospital bed or fighting off sickness. We pray that you would come to them and make your presence known. We pray for those who feel alone because of the loss of someone they love, that you for them would bring comfort and healing and strength. We pray for those, Lord, who feel alone because of their financial situations or they find themselves as strangers in a strange land seeking to find their place and their way. We pray for those who feel alone this morning, Lord, because they just feel so far from you. You have not abandoned us. And we claim and believe in the promises of your word that says, you will never leave us nor forsake us. In Jesus' name we pray, we hope, we believe. Amen.
The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. The guilty pair bowed down with care, God gave his son to win. His erring child he reconciled and pardoned from his sin. Oh, love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong. It shall forevermore endure the saints' and angels' song. When years of time shall pass away, and earthly thrones and kingdoms fall, when men who here refuse to pray on rocks and hills and mountains call, God's love so pure shall still endure, all measureless and strong. Redeeming grace to Adam's race, the saints and angels' song. Oh, love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong. It shall forevermore endure the saints and angels' song. Could we with ink the ocean fill, and were the skies of parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry. Nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. Oh, love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and and strong. It shall forevermore endure the saints and angels' song. It shall forevermore
so thankful that so many of you were able to survive the snowstorm and make your way here this morning, and I know that it was a brave and harrowing task for so many of us. You never know what the weather is going to do. I told several people this Sunday was like the triple whammy for church. We had on one day daylight savings time ending, a snowstorm, and it was a full moon last night. So what a day, what a day. But you are here, and we are here together to wrestle with God's word. Let's pray before we begin. Lord, whatever you have to teach us this morning, may we have open eyes and open ears, open hearts and open minds to receive the life you've prepared for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want to invite you to think back in your life. Can you remember the first time that you were ever truly alone and aware of it? Of course, we know that as infants, there was that first moment. We don't remember it, but I promise you our parents remember it well. That we were laid down in our crib by ourselves to be alone for the first time in our human existence. We screamed out in terror in the darkness. We reached out with our little baby fingers, trying to grope and hang on to something, to reach for the familiar. It is a terrible thing to be alone. Of course, we know in our own human development, times of aloneness are healthy and necessary, but it's the feeling that I want you to tap into. Think back to when you were first really aware and can remember being alone. Were you dropped off at kindergarten for the first time? Or perhaps your parents left you with someone to watch after you, and you weren't truly alone, but you felt abandoned. You felt like, where has Mama gone? I can remember vividly the first day of preschool being dropped off, and I can remember seeing the back of my mother's head as she walked out the door, and the door closed. What's wrong with this woman? And I can remember hearing the sound of my own voice as though it wasn't even me, screaming, "Mama, Mama, Mama, Mama," and feeling abandoned. And even though I was surrounded by other children, feeling alone. Now, I didn't know, of course, that she was just on the other side of the door, peeking through the blind. She could see me even though I could not see her. She was there even though I wasn't aware of it. But I was alone. Or perhaps you found yourself, even as an adult, feeling all alone. I think about those of us, many of us, who have spent time either in the hospital or in a facility where we were getting physical rehabilitation, and laying there in the bed can feel quite alone. We can feel a little abandoned. And those of us who are on the outside, we come in and we'll spend some time with you, and we might check in on you once or twice a week and feel quite good about that good deed for the day or the week. But for those of us who are laying in the bed, the seconds turn into hours, and the hours turn into days, and we feel alone. We have those kinds of moments in our own spiritual walk, too, where we can feel alone. We can wonder, God, where are you? The psalmists are fully aware of this human reality of feeling distant from God. God, where have you gone? Sometimes these are sparked by things in our lives like the death of a loved one or a tragic illness in our own life or in the life of someone we love. Sometimes it comes to us when we lose a job or lose a circumstance that we have become so comfortable with, and we throw up our hands and we reach out and scream out into the darkness and say, where are you, Father? Where are you, God? And we feel so alone. Most of that is emotional. It's based on the senses, the things around us, our circumstances, our perspective from within those circumstances is skewed. We don't realize God's just there watching us, with us, protecting us, present. We base so much of our life on the way we're feeling in the moment because it's simply a part of human nature. We should take advice from Ebenezer Scrooge, who said the senses can be affected by such a little thing, a bad blot of mustard, an underdone potato. And suddenly we're seeing visions of darkness and doom and woe, woe. And we feel alone. And it's in those moments when we're alone that we must turn not to what we feel or sense or what we're experiencing or our perspective from within those circumstances, but it's in those moments of darkness that we need something that we know, that we can build our life on, something solid. Because it's in those moments where we feel alone, the enemy comes and starts whispering to us all kinds of thoughts. You know, when you're all alone for too long, you start thinking strange things, don't you? You start questioning things. You start creating things. I think about when you're a child and you're alone in the dark at night. You see things that aren't there, and shadows become monsters, and the scratch of a bush against the wall outside becomes a dragon coming to devour you. In the darkness and in the alone times, those whispers from the enemy turn into these thoughts of abandonment and doubt and fear. And fear can lead to anger towards God. God, where are you? Turns into God, where are you? And before we know it, we are lost in the dark. I remember when I was a young man and I had an opportunity to participate in a wilderness survival experience where they dropped us off in the middle of the woods in the middle of the night alone with nothing. I can promise you, even as a young man, I heard things. I know I saw things. And thoughts entered and crept into the back of my mind that were based not on fact, but on feeling. But our scripture today, Jesus reminds us that we have a foundation. We have something solid. And no matter how we may feel, the facts are the facts. And the fact is, we are not alone. Listen to what he says in John's Gospel, chapter 14, beginning in verse 18. I will not leave you orphaned. I am coming to you. We know the rest of the story because we've read it. This is a moment coming where Jesus is soon to be crucified, buried, dead, and gone. And disciples feeling such angst and senses of abandonment. No doubt they did not know how the story would end. And there was their doubt and their fear. But Jesus is reminding them before he leaves, I will not leave you orphaned. I am coming for you. I am coming for you. He goes on to say, in a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. What a great mystery that Jesus comes not to wag the finger at us and beat us over the head with his words. He comes giving us words that will give us life. We all know that in the same gospel, in chapter 10, verse 10, Jesus said, it is the thief that comes to kill and to steal and to destroy, but I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. He says, look, because I live, you're going to live. You're going to have life, real life. Many people, before they became disciples, have heard that message of life, and they say, what does Jesus mean, he come that we may have life? What does he mean when he says to at the death of his friend Lazarus, those who believe in me will never die, they will live? I'm alive now. When I became a believer, I realized I had yet to live until that moment. When I became a disciple, it's when I found out what he meant by life was not what I had thought of life my whole life up to that point. That life without Christ is not life at all. He says, so because I live, you also will live. In verse 20, he goes on to say, on that day you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. They who have my commandments and keep them are those who love me, and those who love me will be loved by my Father, and I will love them and reveal myself to them. Key word, reveal. He's going to reveal something to us, that when we love him, it's out of love, not out of fear or guilt, not out of shame, not out of anger, but out of love that we keep his commandments. We start listening to the things Jesus told us to do in the Gospels. We start listening to those words of instructions. And even in the doing of obedience, something is revealed. He says that it's himself that is revealed. I love Judas's response. Judas, not Iscariot, the other Judas, said to them, Lord, how is it that you will reveal yourself to us and not to the world? You see, Judas is revealing something as well. He's revealing he doesn't know what Jesus is talking about. He's looking for some powerful sign, something big. What kind of miracle will you do so that we'll know that it's you and the world won't know? I think I'm just like Judas, not Iscariot, in this sense. I'm always looking for the big sign, aren't you? I want the big sign to show up and some miraculous work. I want, you know, some face to appear in the clouds or a voice coming from the rocks or a burning bush would be nice every now and then. But I am like Judas, not Iscariot. I don't get what Jesus is getting at. So Jesus clarifies again. He says, Jesus answered him, those who love me will keep my word, and my Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them. Literally, dwelling place, not just a house, not just a structure, not just brick and mortar, but we'll come and dwell with you. What is it that Jesus reveals? He reveals self, himself, present in our lives. And he says that this is all about not wonders and works and miracles, but about the miracle of love in us. That we don't love an idea or a doctrine or a set of fundamental beliefs or principles, but we love a person, Jesus Christ, revealed through his word and his teachings and his stories in the gospel. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words, and the word that you hear is not mine, but is from the Father who sent me. I have said these things to you while I am still with you, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have said to you. I think I love this last little part the best. As he says, listen, before I go, I want you to know that I'm sending the Advocate, the Paraclete in Greek. Paraclete sounds a lot like parasite, doesn't it? They're related words. It's this thing that attaches itself to our life, and it's not removable. You can't shuck it off or throw it off, but it becomes a part of us, and we need it. The Holy Spirit comes to us to remind us of everything. It goes back to that discussion we were just having about the emotions and the senses and the circumstances and our perspective from within those circumstances. And in those quiet moments when the enemy comes to rob us and steal from us and kill us of life, and he comes whispering, Doug, did God really say not to eat from any of the fruit of the trees of the garden? He comes saying, you will not really die. Go ahead. You don't need all this burden. It's very soft words the enemy brings. This will make you happy. This will give you peace. This will give you love and make you feel loved. And it's in those moments that we need the Holy Spirit more than ever to remind us of everything that Jesus has taught us. We said that these stones represent the words and the teachings of Jesus. This is our Lenten symbol for the words of the enemy. They are soft. They are comfortable. They're beautiful. They'll tickle us with ideas and with other possibilities. But if this is the word of the enemy and this is the word of God, how many times can the word of the enemy bash and stab at and beat at the word of God before this word gets tattered and broken and destroyed? What a contrast of words. Which would you rather use as the foundation for your house? Which would you rather stake everything on? This one's kind of rough looking. It's a hard word. It's heavy. And it's not easy to carry. But this one, you build your house on this one, and it's going to fall. It's going to break. And when the house falls in on us, who gets trapped inside? We do. We do. And so we are called by Jesus to build our lives on the rock. And no matter how you feel, remember, my friends, you are not alone. You are not orphaned. He is with you, and his word comes to reveal life. And he seeks for us to have not just life, but life to the full. Indeed, we proclaim every Sunday, this is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Would you pray with me? Oh Lord, we give you thanks for this wonderful gift of your word. A word that gives us life and strength and hope and peace and joy and direction. A word that protects us, heals us, saves us. Help us to build our lives on this word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As you respond to the word this morning, we invite you, if you're able, to stand and sing our hymn of response, Trust and Obey. It's number 447 in your hymnals, and we'll sing verses 1 and 4. To you again, the invitation tonight. We have our church council at 4. Following that, at 5, we have a wonderful fellowship meal together to be around the table with one another. There are activities for both youth and children tonight at 5:30. There is something for everyone. Would you receive this blessing as we go? May the one who is able to do all things give you strength and life this week. May he come to you and remind you that he is with you. He sees you. He hears you. He is there for you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.